We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. And, you know, I'm going to say this compliment totally unqualified. And before I do, I just want to say before the compliment, I want to remind everybody that my co-host today is Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Thank you, Mark, for joining me. It's not work when you're around, Mark.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
Great. This next person, I was on a panel last month. I've been on panels for, 37 years. Without a doubt, the best moderator I've ever met in my life. I don't think he was trained in moderation. He didn't go to any of those facilitator schools, consultant schools, an attorney. He was the best moderator I've ever seen. Best questions, best listening I've ever seen. And I'm not exaggerating at all. I am totally impressed. I'm talking about, not you. Oh, somebody else. No, John Cohn of McLean Middleton. Welcome, John.
Thank you. Nice to be here. That's okay.
And you know the compliment's sincere.
Absolutely.
There's only one place for you to go now. Down.
Yeah, there you go. That's the scary part.
So why don't you first tell us about your practice?
Sure. So I'm a corporate attorney at McLean Middleton, as you know. My specialty really kind of runs the gamut of corporate, but some of the verticals that I practice in are M&A, so I do quite a bit of mergers and acquisition type work. I also do a lot in private equity, venture capital, bank financing, and then quite a bit of technical licensing, since I have my undergrad is electrical engineering, so I try to use that to the extent that I can. And that comes in very handy. So if I were to sum it up, it's really it's M&A and then corporate finance in addition to that. So there's a nice parlay as between those two practices, those two types of practices.
In a particular vertical more than any other?
Yeah, probably more. Lately, over the last probably 24 months, I've been really concentrating in the med device and life sciences area.
Which is a great place to be in Boston. Well-funded.
Exactly. It's well-funded. It's very popular. Exactly. I mean, with the universities and the hospitals in the area, this is the place to be. And it's a thriving and really growing market. With a lot of innovation that I'm seeing over the last, 12 to 18 months, it's really kind of exploded. And I have more than a couple clients in that area.
Excellent.
Yeah, that are really, they're really expounding on the technology. They're working with hospitals and providers and trying to get some of their technology in to some of the users. And exciting time to be doing that.
Are you getting most of your clients through VCs?
Well, it's funny. I'm really getting most of my clients through, it's not only the VCs, but it's through the banks. The banks really need, the borrowers show up at the bank and a lot of times they need counsel, not only for that transaction, but just in general.
Right.
So what I like to do is classify myself or characterize myself as the special transactions guy, but also the ability to do the general counsel in between those transactions.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How did you get involved, like as you said, in the last 24 months, which is very entrepreneurial of you, to be able to move from general corporate, which you can do, but to really understand the IP, as you said, you have that technology background, and really get involved heavily into the healthcare?
Well, it's funny. It's really, like anything else, it's client-driven, right? So I have probably a handful of clients that are in that particular space. And so, by default, I've been able to move into that space. And, with my technical background and my ability to understand the technology, right, it's helpful because a lot of my clients are either some sort of technical background. They're either engineers, scientists of some sort, and you gain an instant credibility if you have the same or if a similar background to them. And a lot of times I won't necessarily talk about the law or legal piece with them. I'll talk more about the technology.
Right.
And they get really excited about that.
Right.
And the legal part starts to come in sort of naturally. They'll say to me, well, how do I protect the idea? Or how do I build a company around it?
Right.
What do I have to worry about? So it leads into that very nicely. But, the more pinpoint answer to your question is, it's really, over the last 12 to 24 months, I've had a lot of clients that I've been able to cultivate in that area.
Excellent.
And a lot of it's because of some of the organizations I belong to, as well as my own speaking engagements that I've been doing over the last couple of years with my firm and then even outside the firm. And I think it's gained an attraction somehow.
Well, not only obviously your speaking engagements and the word get out, but I think that once you have clients in a certain area and what you show, which is very different, it sounds like, from typical attorneys, you really understand their technology.
Right.
I found, ironically, since I'm in that space, the attorney space, I find a lot of attorneys can do the work,
right,
but they really don't get deeper. It's like the old days when you had a secretary that read what she typed versus just typing.
Exactly.
Somebody like yourself really takes the time to understand the technology and the nuances. That really makes you special.
Yeah, it's helpful, and it's really kind of my first
love. You
gotta
have a feel for business.
Yeah, well,
I say the same thing in my field. People
right.
who don't do well in my field, they just don't have a feel for business.
Yeah, well, you know, it was helpful that before I became a lawyer, I was actually in the executive world. I was in the business world, and I understand, you know, I was a practicing engineer for a few years and then got into the business development piece.
Interesting.
But I'm able to see, or I was able to see at least, not only sort of how R&D works, but the fact that you need to actually ship a product, right? And you have to get it to market. So, and within all of that is kind of the legal piece as well.
Right.
So having been exposed to that and having actually taken part in that, the ability to talk with the scientists, the founders, the engineers and say, look, it's a great idea, but how are we going to get it out to the public? How are we going to get it to the market in a way that's efficient, in a way that, you know, is within the legal bounds and is going to make you money?
Right.
Really, that's the bottom line. So,
so you're like a part, you're like a key sort of, in addition to doing the work, you're sort of an advisor too to the client.
Exactly. And that's, I try to.
I can tell when I meet a client if they really are going to be successful long term, not just their intellect and their motivation and their ethics, and I think they're all three important,
right.
Their ability to learn from others, but their willingness to surround themselves both inside the company and outside the company with smart people.
Right.
And when a client surrounds me with a smart attorney and a smart accountant, wants me to work in a team concept, right away I know that they're going to make it because they're determined no matter what that they're going to get to the goal line. And
right,
they're going
exactly.
to get their knowledge or their advice from the right people at the right time, not after the fact.
Yeah, and you know, it's a good point you bring up, and a lot of times it's clients that are willing to listen. They may not take your advice, but at least willing to listen and figure out a way to kind of to make that part of the fabric.
Right.
I think that's another point where you can say, this client's going to win. They're going to get somewhere.
I had a banker take me to a client last month, and afterward he walked away and he said, they really need to hire you. And I said, they're not going to hire me. And I said, and if they do, they're going to waste their time. And he said, why? And I said, because he's more concerned with telling me how smart he is
exactly.
than seeing if I can help him at all. And
right.
it's not that he's not smart.
Right.
It's that the people who, you know, if you're not a listener, you're not a learner.
That's right. That's right. That's a very good point. I mean, a lot of times it's I use the old saying that, you know, you've got, you know, two ears and one mouth. Use them in proportion, right?
Right.
And it resonates with people, and they get that. But yeah, you really have the ability to see or forecast if someone's going to be successful based on the way that they actually carry themselves in that respect. So it makes a lot of sense.
John, tell us how you break down your practice. Like, for example, not only obviously we talk about the devices, but you also have, like, as you say, you get involved in M&A work.
Right. So I think if I had to put percentages on it, as a whole, I'd say my practice is probably 50% M&A, and then it's probably somewhere in the 20-30% venture and private equity, and then the remainder is in sort of the bank financing, licensing, and then sort of general corporate compliance.
Interesting.
Yeah. A good part of it has, and quite frankly, in the M&A market, a lot of things spur from that. Right.
Right.
So I may do an M&A deal and then find out that the client not only, you know, if the client's the buyer or
right.
is the survivor, I have a few of those right now that I'm dealing with, I end up becoming their general counsel. But then other things spur from that. You know, there's going to be something else that's going to take place.
Well, when the client realizes that their advisor is proactive,
right.
can see things before they do or as they do and have... and put out what I would call sort of a menu of solutions that could work for them, not just one or drive one, and let the
right.
client have control,
exactly.
then they're going to want you around because they see you as an asset to the team. And I think it's important to see it as a menu of solutions, not just a one-off.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you want to give them the options, right?
Right.
They have to have control.
Exactly. Right. And you want to make sure that they're, you know, and a lot of times it's positioning it so it's their idea,
right?
But all you're doing is just sort of navigating them to get there. And
right.
You're right about the options. I mean, trying to give them three or four different options and let them make the choice.
You know,
right.
I was lucky because I had a boss at a company I mentioned you off air in the 1970s who used to say to me, you got 3 minutes in my office, Jeff.
Right.
You come in, tell me the problem, tell me all the alternatives, your recommendation, I'll give you my answer, and you're going to get out. 3 minutes.
Right.
And I think everybody who's talented, they want to know they have options. They don't want to be told by someone, you have to do it this way.
Exactly.
And they like the mind that can see different solutions or different paths to the solution.
And the funny thing is, too, I've over the years learned that there's a difference between, like when you're in law school, for example, you know, you gave both sides of the argument all
right.
the time, and you always did that. You
right.
just were sort of up the middle.
Right.
Clients want an answer. They don't want, you know, they don't want you to sort of, you know, wax poetic about a particular subject but never get to an answer.
Right.
So they know kind of where they want to go, but a lot of times they're looking for you to either affirm that or say, no, that's probably not the best way to go. Here are three other things that you can do or three other options you can take.
Right.
But they really want that answer. They want you to say to them, either I'm right or if I'm wrong, tell me where I can be right.
You're a trusted validator.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Because their staff isn't. I'm sorry, I'm going to cut in.
Right.
If somebody wants to find you, how would they connect with you?
So the best way really is at this point is email is probably the best way, or even my cell phone. I give my cell phone.
Give the cell phone number.
Yeah, it's 978-621-2363 is the cell. And then email is john.cohan, C-O-H-A-N, at McLean, McLane.com.
And people don't always forget to say, you're on LinkedIn too?
I am on LinkedIn, exactly.
Best place to find you?
Absolutely.
Big picture of you?
No doubt. Well, no doubt.
Well, I was wondering if you were going to go down the picture route. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and better facilitator
than
picture.
This is why radio is good for me.
Yeah, very good. They say the expression, you have a face for radio.
That's what he always says for me.
We've been speaking with John Cohan from McLean Middleton, and I've had firsthand experience. Talented guy. Good to know.
Thank you,
John. He is.
I'm here with Mark Z, and we're going to sign off. We're going to take a break, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs.